Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. Well, at least I hope we are. My name's Brian. I'm a fellow small church pastor in the trenches along with every one of you wonderful people. And speaking of wonderful people, you guys have been praying for Joey and Colby, and the prayers are working. These guys are, they have never looked better than they do right now. Guys, what is up?
My life is dope, and I do dope things.
And I'm blessed.
And I think you might need new glasses.
Yeah.
Hey, listen,
well, it's true about one of us. Colby is killing it. I'm getting killed by it. So
so one of them is a dog wagging the tail, and the other one, the tail is whipping the dog, huh, buddy? I hear you. That's okay. We'll recoup at some point in our lives, right?
Hopefully.
Hey, listen, what did David say? I believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So come on, somebody. Well, we're preaching today, and as we get started preaching, in today's episode, we are dealing with something that many of us don't really like to think about, but it is a very present need and important ministry in the local church. Joey, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about church security.
Ooh, church security. And that's super important, man. Like, church security is something that it goes beyond, like, just saying that we have, like, ushers. Church security is a really important and an in-depth ministry. And today, we're going to be sharing a little bit about that. Colby, what do you think about church security, my friend?
It is a complex, difficult ministry within the church.
Yeah. And it's going to be very impossible to, in one episode, in 1 week's worth of episodes, to deal with all the things that go through with church security. But just because we can't deal with everything doesn't mean that we shouldn't deal with something, because church security is really important. So, Joey, just tell us a little bit about, this is an area you're super passionate about, and we appreciate that from you. Just kind of talk us through why this is important and kind of what our next steps are as we talk today.
Well, as the shepherd, I think we have a moral, ethical, and spiritual obligation to protect the people. And so to protect the people, we need to be prepared for scenarios that's going to hurt the people. So we're going to talk about different scenarios that we might face as a church that could bring hurt and harm to our people. And how can we be prepared to, nothing else, to minimize the impact of that on lives? And there's another aspect of this also, that is, we don't consider these things if we don't put the things necessary in place to shield, or we might be opening ourselves up for litigation, for people to come in and make accusations. And the churches usually don't get a positive storyline about them when they're on the news. It's usually a negative aspect. They're gonna home in on that negative, not the good things the church does, but maybe this one aspect. And the enemy would love to do nothing more than to minimize your impact in your community for one thing or one place.
Yeah, that's very well said. Church security and having plans and protocols in place, they're not the sexy parts of ministry, right? Like, everybody in Small Church Leadership Nation knows that there are parts in ministry we like, and then there are the parts of ministry that are unsung heroes. Paul talks about it in the letter to the Corinthians, where he's like, hey, there's some parts of the body we don't give a lot of honor to, but those are really important. And that's kind of where church security falls. And so today we're going to talk about that. Today we're talking about a handful of different things. And, man, we're going to come out of the gate with the first one that's really sad that we even have to deal with this, but this is the reality of where we are. We're talking about what to do in the event that there is an active shooter or the threat of an active shooter in your building. So, Joey, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your experience with that and what your thoughts are towards building teams that are prepared for active shooting scenarios.
Well, I have been in a shooting scenario. It was in a Christian school. I was in the middle of Bible class. One of my fellow classmates brought a gun in. He had executed a teacher earlier today, shot out the window that we were in, come in, I looked down the barrel gun. So this is something near and dear, because it can happen where you're not expecting it to happen. Is it the FBI that has identified churches as number three target of terrorist attacks?
Yeah, I think it's Homeland Security.
Homeland Security, yeah, number three target. So we are in danger. And so what are we going to do to minimize the impact if that happens? We need to be ready to respond to that.
So as we're ready to respond to that, we think that it's supremely important to not be an ostrich, right? Don't stick your head in the sand, proverbially, but to be prepared for that. And so what are some ways that we can be prepared for an event like that?
You need to think through a couple things. Number one, how are you and your leaders going to respond? Above everybody else, you need to know how you are going to respond in that situation and assign roles for people and walk them through the scenario and walk them through how they're going to respond. Why do you need to do that? Because I talked about the shooting I was in. I froze. They say fight or flight, but they leave out one, freeze. And if you don't know what to do, or you've never been in that situation, your brain may freeze. It may not be able to process what is happening around you where you can react the right way. And so you'll freeze. And you need to get your leaders and yourself past that by knowing the action you're going to take. If somebody comes in, you see them with a gun, what action are you going
to
take?
And that comes down to a lot of training.
Yes.
You can't just talk about it. You can't just write about it. You have to actually put training in process, and you have to go through those scenarios. You have to say, this is what happened. This is where it happened. How do you respond? Get your local police department to come in and work with your team to train them so that they know how to deal those things. Because it's the only way you're going to really get used to it. I mean, that's what the military does is we train. So when we go out, we can do it. And it's just muscle memory at that point. And so that's what you're talking about here.
Yeah, we take our teachers for our school. We have a small Christian school. We take our teachers through this training every year. Some of them's been now the 15 years I've been there. They've been through it 15 times. And guess what? Some of them, when we actually practice this stuff during the school year, don't get it right. Even if they've seen it 15 right. times, you got to keep it before them because you want them to move to action and the appropriate action as quick as possible. If they don't know what it is, they've got to think that through on the fly.
Yeah. And there's a saying when it comes to the training of airplane pilots that they train for all these scenarios because when it happens, you fall to the level of your training. You don't rise to the level of the situation. Yep. And here's the thing. Let's just do some hypotheticals. Small church that's listening, say you're going, man, we're just a tiny church and something like that will never happen to us. Let's just say that you're a tiny church of 30 people, right? That's not a tiny church. That's a church, right? You can be a church of 3 people. But anyway, you got 30 people. Of those 30 people, 7 of those are kids. Some of those are kids workers. They're in a different section of the building. You've got adults in the adult sanctuary part. How are you going to communicate with people? How are you going to make sure that one room, one area is secured when the other area is not secured? Like, there's a lot of moving parts here. And so training definitely matters.
Yeah. Now don't think past the sanctuary. What if it starts in the children's ministry? How are they going to call for help? What method they get to get help back there to them in that situation? And what help is coming to them?
So,
what's available to them?
So we need a protocol. Mm-hmm. We need to drill this protocol. And it's probably really difficult and maybe not the best scenario to try to do this on a Sunday morning. And that's the thing you got to wrestle with. I don't know, man. Maybe you feel like, hey, we should regularly, you know, a couple times a year, we should have some of these drills on Sunday morning. We leave that to your discretion. But what we would encourage you to do is to drill this with your team.
You want people,
what I'm hearing you say, Joey, is that you need to have a plan. You need to know the plan and you need to communicate the plan. And then Colby's bringing in the military side of this and saying, drill, 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 drill this plan. How often would you say we would need to drill something?
I would think starting out. I mean, because some churches, they probably have no security plan right now at all. So starting out, you're talking about drawing up that plan, getting a bunch of reviews on it, eyes of the professionals on it, making sure that it is not illegal and the things that you're doing. Once you have that plan in place, I would say probably twice a month, maybe once a month, you're going through that until your team has it second nature, and then you can go once a quarter. Okay. I think once a quarter is the minimum of what you're going to train on. I know Joey takes his teachers through it at the beginning of the school year,
and then
train it throughout the year.
Yeah,
they have different drills throughout the year. So this is the training, and then we have the drills. And so I think that's very important. So I think that at a minimum, once the team has, your security team has it understood then you go once a quarter to practice.
And why is that important? Because your people are not going to know how they're acting. Some's going to be ready to fight. Some's going to freeze. Some's going to run.
Some of them may not even be there because they're on vacation or something. And so somebody else has to step up. Yeah. So you have to play those scenarios out as you're going through the training.
Your leaders need to know what instructions they're going to give the congregation for different scenarios.
Yeah.
If you're going to have leaders go, get down, so that they can take a shot without hitting one of your folks. You need to know that. If you're going to have them run out a certain, you need to have leaders that's giving instructions, then leaders that are responding to the threat. The leaders giving instructions need to know what instructions to give.
Yeah.
Because your average person in the combination is not going to know what to do. They're going to freeze or they're going to flee in the way sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing, man. If you're listening to this and you're going, well, this is a bit too extreme and that something like that will never happen with us, I would be willing to bet that every person that this has ever happened to at some point would have told you, I never would have thought something like this would have happened. And so preparation and being on guard for this, it matters. We do the same thing when we go witnessing to people, right? Like, if you think about the first time you shared your faith with somebody, it took a lot of preparation. What if they ask this question? What if they ask about that? What were you doing? You were getting a game plan for any kind of scenario that you wouldn't be typically expecting.
Yeah, because I wouldn't expect in a shooter in 1988, I know that's like ancient times. Yeah.
They even had, that was muskets.
Muskets.
Yeah.
For a fellow student to bring in a gun in school and start shooting. I wasn't expecting that in Bible class.
Yeah.
You never expect these things, but these things can come.
Yeah. And so what about, now this isn't something in our notes, but I think it's important for us to talk about. What about that pastor out there that doesn't have the game plan and doesn't even know where to go building the team? What are some practical steps for that pastor or for that small church leader for it?
So what we did here, because, yeah, we didn't have a plan and we didn't really know where to start. So what we did was we actually called the local police department. And they came in and talked to me and the guy that I was going to have as my security leader. And the reason why I was going to have him as my security leader is because it was he was a military guy and he was a retired sheriff's deputy as well. So if you've got somebody like that in your congregation, zero in on them. Former military, former cop, current cop, something like that. Zero in on them. But we got together with the local police department and they came in and they kind of showed us our soft spots and some things to think about. They also, here in Portsmouth, they also have, they'll come out and they'll give you that assessment and they also will give you some extra training that you may need, for different things, concealed carry, stuff like that.
And did they charge you anything for that?
No, they did not.
Now, I do know that in some scenarios, there are police departments that will have what would be considered like a community resource officer. And that community resource officer, part of their role is engaging with the community and helping to build relationships and connections that way. And so, man, that's a great place to start. Joey, what would you say? Like, how do I tell, okay, this is the person that I need to be on the security team? Do you just go in and just start handing guns out on a Sunday morning? Like, hey, does anybody want one? Come and take one. Or like, what's the steps?
Well, I knew of some people who had was serious about concealed carry. And I went to the range with them and saw, can they actually put bullets on paper?
Yeah, it's one thing for somebody to have a concealed carry permit. It's another thing for them to know how to use a gun. And that's a different conversation for a different time. But what we're saying here is, you definitely want to make sure that they don't not only have the heart to do it, but they have the skills to do it as well.
Yeah. And skills can be trained too. I've taken my principal and my receptionist through armed security training, so that they could get a security mindset. They could hear what those being trained to do security. Go through a couple of those courses. Learn how to fire, learn that mindset. That's another way that you could do. So it's a low investment, but it's not an extreme investment.
Yeah, and here's something, too. Whoever's going to be on the security team, I talked with the guy that's heading our security team up just this past Sunday, and I was like, man, we need to expand this team. I think we should all just get together and go shooting. You would have thought, Joey, that I gave him a year supply of free ice cream. I'm like, hey, let's just go shoot, because guys, you're a shooter. If I were to say to you, Joey, let's go and shoot, I'll buy a box of ammo. Let's go and shoot and practice. You're smiling right now at me even thinking about doing that.
I'm ready to stop this and let's go.
It's fun. It's a good way to build camaraderie. It's a good way to build fellowship and teamwork in. And so start where you're at. Have a plan. Find those credible people. I would encourage you, just like, man, with our kids ministry, we do background checks. Do a background check on somebody who's going to be on your security team. Maybe, just maybe, if you're going to let them carry a weapon in your building with children and other people who would not be carrying a weapon, maybe do a psych evaluation on them. Like, we're not saying just willy-nilly give somebody, put somebody on the team, somebody that, you know, wants to play Call of Duty Modern Warfare, you know, in real life. We're telling you, have a plan, have a team, screen the people.
Not all of the people in your security team need to carry a gun.
So now unpack that a little bit.
Okay. If there are people giving instructions, helping people get out of the building when they need to, they don't necessarily need to carry a gun.
They don't need to be pointing with the gun in which direction to go.
And so if they're the one, we're going to talk about emergency situations later on. If they're the ones helping with that, if they're helping in a medical situation, they don't need to be armed to do that. So not everybody on your security team needs to be armed to do their job. And so you might just have five people that want to be in security, but two are the only one you trust with putting a weapon in their hand.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And here's something, too, to go in with that. Joey, you and I were at a training seminar. I guess it's been four or five years ago at this point. But the guy mentioned this, have a paper trail. So, small church leader, as you're listening to this, don't just say, well, I heard it on this podcast, because guess what's not going to help you out in a court of law? The Small Church Leadership Podcast, right? But what you can do is you can say, hey, on this date, we built our security team, and these are the members that were present when we talked about this. This is, you have a file folder in your church office. This is everybody's background check. This is everybody's clearance to carry. In our state, the pastor has to give express written permission, or the board, for someone to carry in the room. Just have a paper trail, because here's something I want you to know. As a parent with small kids, I don't get offended that your kids ministry background checks their employees. I don't get offended at all with that. And as someone who's concerned about the safety of my children, when I see the paper trail, I know that you haven't just flung something together, but you've been intentional about it. So have a paper trail of what it is you're doing. What you're doing is you're building the ministry.
And if you got people out, shoot, keep their target. So you can go, hey, when they were out of the range, they demonstrated that they could hit the target.
Now, what if their target is a picture of somebody, Joey?
Probably steer away from that.
Okay, don't do that.
Yeah, okay. Don't do that. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a lot to take in. We want to tell you just, man, you know, take it piece by piece. You don't have to just get all of it at once. Start somewhere, and you're good with that. So the next thing we want to talk about, we kind of hit on it briefly, but let's go a little bit more in detail here, is the safety of children and kids ministry. That's pretty important, right?
Absolutely.
Very.
Yes.
So what are some key big rocks that need to happen during a children's ministry safety scenario?
You need to think about who has access to your kids. Can anybody get to where your kids are, or is it limited? Can you watch those who are leaving and make sure that they don't have access to your kids? Do they need to scan in? How are they going to? Because you don't want open access to your kids. We lock our back doors so people have to come through the sanctuary once we get started. Everybody moves away from the doors when they're in the sanctuary. Our kids, they have to walk past us and out of the sanctuary in order to get to our kids. And so we got somebody monitoring who's leaving and where they're going, so they can't access the kids. But nobody can come in our back door and have right access to our kids.
So we want to have a secure, and in airplane world, they call it a sterile cockpit.
Yeah.
So we want to have a sterile children's ministry area where only screened, approved workers are back there. What do you do about the church grandmama that wants to come in and hug on everybody's baby?
You don't let them.
Sorry.
And so especially
in today with COVID and all like that. No, you can't do that.
And that's what you're going to run into. Even today, it's interesting for me today. I have people that gripe about former pastors that did that. And I'm like, I do that. Like, you're griping about me right now because I do that. But this is important for the safety of your kids.
So physical security of the kids. And then think about who might be trying to get access to your kids and why. One of the people we've got to watch out is non-custodial parents trying to gain access to our kid, to somebody's, to their child, but who somebody else got custody of via the children's ministry or the nursery.
And so that drove us to look at where our nursery was. Our nursery was this room we're in right now, and the door to the outside of the building is right outside the door to this room. And so when we were looking at this about the non-custodial parent trying to snatch a kid, it's very easy to snatch and run out of this room. So we moved rooms where it was a little more difficult to get out of our building from that room. If you don't know the lay of the land. So you've got to look at going back to that sterile facility, you've got to make sure that you've got that spot right. The easiest room is not the right room always.
Yeah.
That's good. And because here's the scenario. We live in a world where in the church, 50% of marriages end in divorce. So you've got this divorce that's happening. You've got mom has custody of the kid, or dad does, and the other parent doesn't.
Or grandparents.
Or grandparent has custody of the kids, and then all of a sudden on a Sunday, they walk to the door. Most of our nurseries have half doors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is recommended to have half doors or doors that are glass. And so the parent who doesn't have custody walks up that day to the kids' ministry room, and their kid sees him and goes, Daddy! Well, of course, you're not going to be like, nope, that's not your daddy. You can't go and hang out with him. But that's how kidnappings happen.
Yeah.
That's how you've turned a really bad situation into a really worse situation.
So who can come back and pick up that kid? You need to think through that. Yeah. And how they identify they're the right person?
Yeah. And this can be done on your check-in sheets.
Yes.
Right? Like who's the approved guardian? That can be done on the check. Give them, sometimes we've given wristbands, so you have to have the same wristband as your kid, or stickers on the back of it, or I've seen churches that have had clothespins, and they've had two of them, and so like my kid will get number one, and then I'll get the number one clothespin, and I can only get the kid back with that.
Or numbered chips.
Numbered chips, or all kinds of things. So this doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be expensive at all. It just has to be done. And here's something I would advise you to do. Pre-plan what you're going to say. So that in the moment you don't freeze up and just go, you can't have the kid.
Yeah.
Pre-plan. Hey, our policy is the person who checked them in is the only person that can check them out. And unfortunately, you weren't the one that checked them in. Now, if you want to go and get mom or grandmom or aunt, whoever it is that has custody, and come back with them, absolutely. We'd love to turn them over that way. That's polite. Yeah. It's classy. And it's also saying, hey, this is how we do things here.
I like the no. Go away.
Yeah. No, because no is a complete sentence.
It's a complete sentence.
So if you got royalties for how often I've said that lately, you would be rich, dude.
So who else wants access to your kids? Those who have bad plans for them.
Yeah.
And so how do you combat that? You screen. Everybody that works and around kids has to be screened. And that may be your out for grandma. Grandma, you haven't been screened. You can't come back here and hug all these kids.
And it doesn't matter if they're a teacher or a custodian or...
Hey, or the pastor.
Or the pastor.
I'm screened.
Yeah, I am too.
Back, or
yeah,
my wife. She's absolutely. The kids' director. She's screened.
Yeah.
And
you
this is
have
non-negotiable.
To, you, yeah. And if you don't want to be screened, there's a reason.
Absolutely.
And we don't want you around our children.
That's right.
Yeah, and listen, friends, you got to be hardcore on this. You can't take no for an answer when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. Well, we need workers. Yes, who are going to be careful enough with those kids that they have nothing to hide.
Yeah, you don't want a worker that's going to do harm to your kids because you're going to be in the paper.
Absolutely.
And nobody's going to want to bring their kids back to your church.
You're not going to get over that one.
So, and real quick, a resource that you can use, Brian, you have.
Yeah, so we use a resource called Ministry Safe.
Ministry Safe.
And I think the website's ministrysafe.com. And the short version is there were a couple of lawyers that saw this as an issue in the church and wanted to have a ministry to help them. So we pay them like a flat rate fee every year, and then we pay them per background check.
Yep.
And they do and there's different levels. They also do background checks. They do sexual safety training and awareness. They do training, and I can see all of my people who have gone through the training.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to be with them to give them training. So say you have a night shift worker that can only do the training on a Tuesday at 11 in the afternoon. They have video access to that training. Really, really good place.
So we use protectmyministry.com. Does the same, exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Pay a flat fee. Plus we pay the each investigation that we run.
Yeah. I love that for this reason. It shows that I'm not making the rules up.
Yeah.
And it'd be one thing, like, say, for example, at the church that I pastor, Forward Church, we said, yeah, we're going to screen them, but we're going to come up with our own screen.
Yeah.
And my own screen is, I'm not doing a background check, but this, you know, this weirdo here has, he's not allowed around 150 yards in front of a school, but because I made my own screen up, that, just outsource it, man. Get a reputable company that can help you with that.
And it's worth the money.
It is.
It is worth the money.
We have a school, so we run everybody through the school. Yeah. I just give their information to the principal, and they run it through the school system that we have. So I don't know. I don't even know what it is.
So basically, we're supposed to just stop what we're doing and send everybody to your school.
Yeah. That's what I gotta
do. So do not send everybody to Joey.
This is something that's a little different that I didn't think about until we had this situation happen in our church. And this is children's safety as well. If you have a kids ministry that gives snacks out regularly, you got to think about kid food allergies.
Absolutely. That's a safety issue
yeah,
now.
We stopped doing that because we had a handful that were like, we're talking, carry EpiPens with them all the time, call 911 immediately as soon as it happens, allergic.
Wow.
And so and you'd be surprised the crap that's in the food that we give our kids. So that's a child safety issue as well. Like, just as much as somebody's going to not want to take their kids to the church where a molestation happens, so is also, it's like, man, that kid was allergic and they didn't even think about that before they gave him peanuts. And now all of a sudden, this is a bad situation.
We just give our kids Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew, spoonfuls of sugar
right before we send them back in a candy bar, right?
That's what you do when you watch my kids. That's all right. Speaking of, somebody needs to watch my kids so I can go out on a date on this sabbatical I'm on.
I'm busy that day.
Whatever day it is. I got to move too. Are you going to be busy that day?
I want to emphasize the screening for this reason. I want to point this out. These people that are looking to do harm are looking for those churches that will accept them easily and let them in easily.
Yep.
So when you do that, you're making yourself a target for them to exploit you.
Absolutely. Had one of those in the first church I pastored, small church of less than 50 people. And this guy, man, he was in love with Jesus, served like crazy. Thank God we never put him with our kids because we screened people and we wouldn't do it. One day I'm standing in the line at the gas station, look down at one of those papers that shows all the people that got arrested, and his name was in there for failure to report as a child molester. And I mean, cold chills ran down my spine. Like that could have been me, man. Like, young in my ministry, 20 freaking 7 years old, that could have been me. So screen them.
Yes.
So we've talked about active shooter scenario. We've talked about kids safety. And now the final one, which is something that many of us will deal with. I've had to deal with something like this before. We're talking about emergency situations that are things like fires, tornadoes, someone is unresponsive, someone has a stroke, a heart attack, a medical issue. We're talking about these types of situations. So, Joey, let us know a little bit about kind of your thinking here.
You want to do just like you do for the active shooter. You want to teach your leaders.
Fire back at them. Quit having a stroke.
The fire's shooting at us.
You want to train them how to respond to those situations. What are we going to do in these situations? What instructions are you going to give the people? Because there's such thing as groupthink or lack of groupthink. There was a woman who ran her car overboard. I can't remember where it's at. They got video of it. She ran her car overboard. Her car is sinking. She's yelling for help with her two kids in there. And everybody on the bank is standing there watching this car sink because they're waiting for somebody else to respond. Why didn't anybody else do anything? Do they know something? I don't know. And somebody in the military was passing by, saw what happened, slammed the cars on brake, ran past everybody, it jumped in, and then everybody goes, oh, I guess we better help this person.
It
jumped into action.
Somebody from the military was a hero? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Where were you at on that day, Colby? That sounds just like a Colby move.
It wasn't a Colby move.
You sure?
It's always.
I don't know. But Superman wore glasses too, to be Clark Kent. He didn't want anybody to know. Yeah. All right. Okay.
So the point is, somebody is waiting for somebody to take action in these situations. Somebody to lead. And somebody may not step up if you don't have somebody designed to step up and know how to handle the situation.
And so, handling the situation, this is something I never think about until this happened to me. Who is the designated person or how many designated persons are there to call 911? that never occurred to me. And early in my ministry, I only reached a bunch of young people. Well, at the church that I'm at now, there were some elderly saints there. Praise God for them. I still love them. The lady I'm talking about right now is literally my favorite person in the church that doesn't have my last name. Like, I love her. But she had a medical event. And in that moment, I froze because I'm like, do we call 911? And thank God we had a registered nurse in the building that day, and she like jumped into action, and she's like direct. She's doing what you're telling us to do.
Yeah.
She's direct. You call 911. You go get me some of this. You do some of that. And so just have that in mind.
Just like you want somebody in the military or police training or had some kind of weapons training on your security for active shooter, you want somebody has medical training or some medical know-how on your security team too.
Yeah, and this is something too. This goes back to kids ministry, but it deals with this as well. It might not be a bad idea to just pay for about 4 or 5 people in your church to have CPR training, especially with kids ministry CPR training. That's just, it's just good sense to do that. It helps out.
So why do you want somebody, you have somebody to call 911? Because they know the plan. They know where to tell the emergency crew to come to. You need an assigned place that if they're unresponsive and they're in the pew, don't touch them. You don't know what's going on. Let the medical. But if they can move on their own, move them out of the sanctuary. Move them to a location where EMS can get to them quicker. And that person who you assigned to call 911 can go give instructions. Come to this part of the building. This is how you navigate. This is what you're looking for, and we'll meet you there.
Yeah.
Instead of 14 people calling and they're going, it's just in the building. It's just in the building.
Yeah.
You got one person that knows the plan.
Here's something too. I'm talking to guys who have churches like Joey's and mine, Pentecostal churches. Pray for them from a distance. Right? Like, let the EMTs get there and do the work that they need to do. I'm not telling you. I am Pentecostal. I believe God can immediately heal people. I prayed, we just 2 weeks ago prayed for immediate healing over my son on Sunday morning with the whole church there. Part of the way that God brings healing is by giving us access to people that can be healers. Luke, for Christ's sake, was a doctor and he wrote 2 books in the Bible. So give them some space for that. What about this? So we've talked about some medical emergencies. What about like fires and tornadoes and stuff like that? What's the game plan there, Joey?
You need to train for that too. What exits are you going to use? Where is your children's ministry going to exit? Is people going to come help the nursery workers get the small kids out? Are they the two of them responsible to get 10, 12, 20, 2-year-olds out of the building? Yeah, by themselves.
And you need to make sure that your evacuation plan does not cross the road or the driveway that the fire department is going to be screaming up because there's a fire. Now you not only do you have a fire, but you've got 16 people that have been run over by that fire truck.
Yeah.
So make sure your evacuation plan thinks about that stuff.
Now, here's a question. This is something that's very relevant at Forward Church. What if every sermon is straight fire and people start thinking they need a fire drill every time they hear me preach? What do we do in that event?
We wake you up.
Because I think you so
put,
many...
You
so
put
many,
fire extinguishers in strategic places in the sanctuary.
Okay.
Can we talk about our station?
So many. Let me finish the dang joke, guys.
Sorry.
So many people have left our church. It's like they've been on a fire drill. There, I'm over with the joke. Finish talking now.
So fire extinguishers, great point. When I got here, we had fire extinguishers. I got here in 2012. We had a fire inspection in 2013. We had a fire extinguisher that was dated 1989. Right? So make sure you get with a company locally that can do your fire extinguisher recharge or, you know, get rid of them, get new ones. You got to take care of that stuff because if there's a fire, you're going to be, I mean, that thing's going to be like just dribbling on stuff and now you've got a bigger problem.
Yeah.
That's a great point because I got a school, so I have to do that.
Hey, say you got to school one more time. Say it one more time.
I have to do that every year.
Did you know I do CrossFit, drink black coffee, and he has a school?
That's the first time you've said that, though.
And he does school.
That's the first time you've said that. I'm proud of you.
And he's got a school.
I don't have to think about that because we have to do it once a year.
Right.
So I wouldn't think about that if he didn't mention it. Most churches have what, every 3 years.
Well, hey, you know.
If they get inspected off.
So these are all things to definitely be considering. And so what we're saying today, the overarching theme, have a game plan, have people that are on the team to deal with that know what the game plan is, and drill this as often as you see fit in order to be competent with the skills necessary.
And we just threw a couple scenarios, but where are you at? There may be other ones. We don't have to worry about earthquakes very much around here.
Right.
So we don't have this, but where are you at? You might have to worry about an earthquake or something natural that we're not thinking of because that's not part of ours.
Right. Yeah, our area, flash floods in our area. We have to worry about that. We don't worry about hurricanes. Some people, or earthquakes. Some people don't worry about that. Some people, it's mudslides. Some people, man, maybe you're in one of those areas where there's wildfires that happen often. These are just things that we have to consider, and it's just healthy ministry to do emergency risk management. And there's always, in all of this, there's always, it's important for us to keep our head on a swivel. And what that means is we're just constantly looking around, paying attention to stuff for anything that's a DLR.
Yes.
Now, Joey, what is a DLR? A DLR is something that don't look right.
Don't look right.
Don't look right.
It don't look right and it don't feel right.
Uh-huh. That's a DLR or DFR. Don't look right. Don't feel right. That could be a person.
Mm-hmm.
That could be you're pulling into church that morning and you look up in the sky and it looks a little green and you know there's about to be some tigers in that storm. Now, whatever that is, be sensitive to the DLRs.
Yeah, and generally it's people coming in. And the first people to get a look at people coming in is those who are in the parking lot. That's the first line to communicate, if they're not part of the security team, to communicate to the security team. Hey, this person flew in here, jumped out, slammed the door, stomped up to the door. There's something going on here. And it could be he had his fight with his wife and he's coming to church to cool off. But you don't know that for sure.
Why you got to call me out like that? I'm the pastor, bro. You're supposed to be nice to me.
All right. they come in mumbling to under their breath to themselves. Yeah. There's something that is outside how people normally act in the scenario and the situation you are. And so you want to be aware of those so that you can, you might cut off a potential. Not every one of them is a active shooter.
Right. And that's not what we're saying. What we are saying is be prepared for a DLR.
Yeah. And have a plan to deal with them. One of the plans is for some churches is they have a team that when somebody's not acting that way, they go up and go, hey man, you look like you're having a bad day. You want to talk about it? What's going on?
Yeah, and they'll escort them to another section away from a lot of people, mm-hmm. where they have other people on the team with them that can kind of help. And you can disguise anything as prayer.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you look like you're having a rough day. Man, we would love to pray for you. Would you mind just stepping here with us? Yeah, like there's easy, godly ways to deal with that.
And don't let Colby be that person. Right? Colby yeah,
Colby's going to throw him out like Uncle Phil did.
Colby's the backup for that person. I always give that person backup. Somebody that is there to intervene if that person does decide to get violent. But where's that salt, that person that can speak softly?
Somebody speak
and calm
softly.
The situation and not escalate a situation.
Yeah, Joey and I were at an event in D.C. last year or year before, and there was a guy he looked like he was schizophrenic the way he was acting. His mannerisms and the things he was doing gave me, who understands mental health awareness, he seemed schizophrenic. There was, even if not that, there was some kind of mental issue that was going on there, and possibly demonic.
Possibly demonic.
I'm not going to throw that out of the thing there. I'm not saying every mental issue is a demonic issue, but I am saying that there is such a thing, right? And so we've got a group of about 40 people or so praying in D.C., and this guy starts like becoming more and more belligerent, yelling, cussing, getting closer and closer to us. And we're with a group of Christians that are just there praying, and they're just, you know, declaring the goodness of God. And Joey's like on the other side of the area from me, and I like throw my eyes at him, and we're both like, yep, we didn't even have to say it, like DLR.
Yeah.
And we're like, we just converged on where this guy was. We didn't get in his face. We didn't ask him anything. It was a public thing. If it were in our church, we would have asked
him. We made sure that we were between them and those that were praying.
Yep.
But here's what happened. Those that we were praying with started provoking this guy by praying at him.
Pointing at him.
And, yeah.
Like there's
either go cast that demon at him or leave him alone.
Yeah, for real.
Don't provoke him.
Yeah, I don't want the Sons of Sceva situation because I'm trying to help you right here. I'm just trying to help. And so all we're saying is when these types of situations come, sometimes bad stuff happens, and who are you going to call?
Yeah. We had a guy come in and start pacing in the back of the church. We've had it twice.
Yeah.
And there was the first guy's there, and he's pacing back and forth, and our security guy's got an eye on him. What is this guy up to? And it was just he was new in the place. Guy was dealing with him, and – we were able to help him work through that then, and then we understand that's just part of who he is.
Yeah.
It ain't no bill. Another one was looking for opportunity to get a hold of a mic and speak.
Yeah.
He said, we were able to, nope, not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were able to confront both of those, but in an appropriate way.
So this has all been some really, really good stuff today. And we would encourage you, sit down, evaluate where you're at, evaluate what your current security needs or situation is, and all of these things we've talked about. And there's really just a handful of things we want you to take with us. And I love this, Joey. You've really caused me to think about this a lot. Will you share that with our folks?
Yeah. Think about what is the three most likely issues you're going to face where you're at in your sitting, in your situation. What are the three most likely scenarios you're going to face realistically, and plan for those scenarios? Train for those scenarios. Don't ignore the rest of them. Give some training there, but concentrate on the ones that are most likely what you're going to face. For me, it is, we're on a pass through major thoroughway. We got people walking up and down and people that are looking for opportunities. And so we've had our people harassed coming out where they got asked for money from people. We have had people come in the building. We have people stole. We had a car when a former pastor was loading it with kids' luggage to go to camp. Someone stole the car because they saw an opportunity. That's just where we're, so we face that. That's a likely scenario. So our people are ready to cut that off at the door and help people at the door so that it shields the road. Those that are coming in for worship, they don't even know what's going on. They can worship.
Yeah. So be cognizant of what is most plausible to happen at your location.
If you got a bunch of elderly, you're going to have a medical situation at some time. Be prepared. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? When do you carry them out, and when do you leave them where they're at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff.
Know your local and state laws, because there's some, each state is different. They got their different rules on concealed carry. They got their different rules on different things that you do. So make sure you know what those laws are. Don't just shoot from the hip and say, well, this sounds good. You want to make sure that you're doing things legal.
Yeah. Cause also this is something that's not in terms of an immediate threat, but it is a threat. Churches can get sued.
Yes.
And make sure that's one of the reasons I'm talking about doing a paper trail. You're saying bring the right folks in. You're saying make sure that people are screened and vetted correctly. Because at the end of the day, you've got to worry about covering the ministry, the people in the ministry, and then the ministry that's for the people. You got to cover both of those things. And this is healthy, and this is good ministry that you don't get taught a lot.
So what I've heard is think through scenarios that you're going to have that you might face. Think through the big ones. How are you going to respond? Not everybody in your security team is armed. You need medical personnel. You need people that can give instructions well to people. You need people that's going to respond in other parts of the building. And how's that other parts of the building going to communicate in times where they're facing an emergency?
Yes.
To get the help that they need.
This is so good, man. Like, I can't wait to go back and listen to this myself, because this has been encouraging. It's also confronted me with some areas where I need to tighten some stuff up. And so I'll definitely make sure that I find all of this stuff on podcast whenever I listen to it again.
And so, here was something I would like from our listeners. I would love for you to go on our Facebook page and tell us, what are the three most likely scenarios that you face? Because you may be facing something I ain't even thought about yet and go, oh, I need to think about that. And how do you handle those situations so we can help each other learn in this? And so go to Facebook, go to the search bar, Small Church Leadership. You'll find us there. Leave it in the comments for us. Let us know, what are those three most likely scenarios you would face, and what are you doing to prepare for them?
I love it.
And take it one step further, I'd like to see them go, our listeners, to go to wherever they get their podcast and leave us a 5-star rating and tell us how awesome we are, because we're awesome. We're dope.
Awesome. We're dope.
We're
blessed.
Just go out there. Give us a review. Give us a 5-star rating. Share this with your friends. You may have pastor friends out there that have no idea what to do for a security plan. Share this podcast with them. At least get them on the right foot started. and help them out as well.
Absolutely.
I know we need to land a plane. One funny story that I don't want you to have this story told about you, so I'm going to tell it about me. My dad was a roofing contractor. We had to pump the hot tire up into mop carts to then mop it out. Well, the tire come in the mop cart and burst into flames. And nobody told me what to do, how to put that out. So I'm literally running in circles trying to get my brain to process what to do next. When my uncle, who's been roofing for many years, got a piece of stiff insulation, board insulation, and smothered the fire out while I'm still running in circles. Don't run in circles in these scenarios. Have a plan so you'll know how to act.
And on that note, we're going to stop running in circles and let this fire burn in your soul, baby. This has been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we have absolutely 100% helped you and us in the small church fulfill the big mission. Next time we gather together, we're going to be starting a series talking about marriage. Marriage is kind of important, right, friends? And so we're going to talk about the impact that ministry has on marriage. We're going to talk about the impact that marriage can have on ministry as well. So we're praying for you and your marriages in this process. And maybe you're listening to this and you're single. We're praying that you don't be single too much longer, baby. Come on now. Hallelujah. We got a little dating service going on at our church right now, which is kind of hilarious. And maybe we'll talk about that. So until then, this has been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully helping the small church fulfill the big mission. We'll see you next time, guys. My name is Brian.
I'm Joey.
And I'm Colby.
And we will see you later. Love you now. Bye.